Take your Bible this morning and turn to James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Been going through James on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights and a little bit on Sunday morning. Then I'm going to do the Sermon on the Mount. Then we're going to do the book of Hebrews starting in January. So look at James chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they're so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Let me ask you a question. Who is the most poisonous member of Pleasant Valley South Baptist Church? If you're here today as a guest and you're active in another church, ask yourself a question. Who is the most poisonous member in your home church? Think about this very, very carefully. All of us have a name in mind. All of us are speculating on who that person might be. But there's a member of our churches who has killed more friendships, ruined more reputations, put a damper on more growing churches, and led to more people leaving the ministry than any other member of our church. James makes it very plain. He gives a name here to the meanest member of any church. Look at verse 6. And the tongue is a fire in a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. Concealed like a sniper, faster than a bullet, deadly as a gun, the meanest member in our churches is this little 3-inch animal in our mouths. Have you noticed that somehow God formed us and created us and put that tongue behind a framework of ivory? Many of you like to whiten your teeth. You go to the dentist and you pay $45 to be able to put bleach in a mouthpiece in your mouth to whiten your teeth. But behind those beautiful white teeth is something that's filled with venomous poison. It's called our tongue. In fact, the perfect member of any church, he says down here in verse 2, is the person who can control their tongue. In verse 2, it says, if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man. One of the greatest dangers Christians encounter is the wrongful use of the tongue. George Eliot said this, blessed is the man who, having nothing to say, abstains from giving wordy evidence to the fact. Sometimes we say things that encourage people. When I was coming in this morning, one of our church members walked up to me, and she said, you remember when you went to ICU at Redmond Hospital this week, and you came out to the waiting room, and I introduced you to a friend of that family member in the waiting room. She said, I want you to know, but while you were walking down the hall, and there's a glass wall to that waiting room, My friend that I was about to introduce you to said, my, your pastor is about 30 years old and has blonde hair. Isn't that an encouragement? Well, I figured that lady had cataracts. That was her big problem. But she did see me through a tinted glass, but that was the best compliment I had all week. When we look at the book of James, we'll see that James is comprised of 107 or 108 verses. And you'll see that James dedicated 20 of those verses on the subject of controlling the tongue. First of all, notice the influence of our tongue. It says the tongue has the potential to set us on course and give direction to our lives. We see James employed several illustrations to make his point. First of all, he talks about a bit in a horse's mouth in verse 3. Horse is a very powerful animal. He's much greater in weight than any human being. Sometimes I'm going to Walmart and I go by a farmer's hardware and you'll see a carousel out there and there'll be about 6 ponies. You know what? I don't even like to get on ponies that are hooked to a carousel. But one thing I want you to notice about those ponies is they all have a bit and a bridle in their mouth. You can take a 2,000-pound horse and put just a little girl who's inexperienced at riding, and she can hold on to those reins with that bit and bridle, and she can make that horse go to the left. She can make it go to the right. She can make it go fast. She can make it go slow. She can stop that horse with just a little bit and bridle there in the horse's mouth. James is saying it's that way about our tongue. The tongue is a very little member of our body. Now, when I said our tongues are 3 inches long, that is an average length. Some of yours is 6 inches long. I've heard you talk before. Some of you are very quiet and never say anything. You married, your spouse talks all the time. Yours has shrunk to a 2-inch tongue. But notice what he says here. He says, listen to this carefully. Your tongue even determines the eternal destiny of your soul. The Bible says, with the mouth we confess our faith in Christ, and with the heart, we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are saved. The Greek word there for bridle or bit there means to lead. We picture a large animal that is unwilling to carry a load, but we insert that bit and that bridle, and all of a sudden, that animal is able to carry that load in a very productive manner. Notice this. No horse has ever bridled himself or herself. Somebody has to come along and insert those and attach those to the horse. So try as we may, we cannot bridle ourselves. We need to yield our speech to the master's control in order to receive direction in life. Notice the next thing he says. He says the tongue is like the rudder on a ship. Now, by logic, the ship can be guided this way or that way. The USS Lauderdale is 535 feet long. It has pads to launch, to land helicopters. It also has missile launchers, torpedoes. However, this mighty vessel has one little item underneath the hull of that ship called a rudder, so direction can be controlled. Now notice the bit and the rudder describe the directing power of the tongue. The tongue speaks words. I'll tell you how powerful the tongue is. As a very, very fearful young man, I stood at an altar before my father-in-law when I said I do to Delaine. I believe that was about the longest wedding I ever attended. I remember I was nervous, I was perspiring, I was trembling. My dad was my best man, and he nudged me, he said, "Son, you take this like a man, you understand?" And so I stopped crying then. And so when I officiate at weddings, I've noticed the larger the groom, the more they sweat. It's not perspire here in Silver Creek. It's sweat. And tears run there in their face. And I enjoy every single minute. But I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, when you say I do, and if you're serious about that commitment, that changes your entire life. I know more about vacuum cleaners, Swiffers, dishwashers, a whole lot of stuff than I ever knew before. I've been trained. I'll tell you something else. If you go before a judge and a jury renders a sentence and they hand it over to the judge and he reads it and you're found guilty, that's going to change the rest of your life, unless Barack Obama gets a hold of your sentence and says it was too harsh and he lets you go for dealing drugs. Now, that was not a political statement. That was just the truth. Amen? That's what I thought. Now, notice this carefully. The tongue speaks the word yes or no to the call of Christ for salvation, and the response determines your eternal destiny. Now, notice here the iniquity of the tongue. First of all, he describes it like a fire. Look at verse 5 and 6. How many people have had their reputations ruined by someone's tongue who spread nothing but a rumor? Now, let me take this out just a little bit further. It's not just your tongue. It is also social media. Do you know that lawyers absolutely love Facebook and texting? Some people get sued for slander, and guess what? Your social media has been intercepted, it's been preserved, and they carry that to court, and they will successively sue you. You know what else I think? I think when you're critical of your church on social media, God's going to hold you accountable. I think when you're critical of another church member on social media, just as with your tongue, you're going to be held accountable. You know, children can be so cruel to children. Middle schoolers can be so cruel to middle schoolers. High schoolers can be so cruel to high schoolers. You know, in high school, I wouldn't go back and do that over again for anything in the whole wide world. That was nothing but a bunch of drama. Amen? And I don't want to go back there. But if you're a Christian and you say the love of Christ lives in you, we shouldn't be sharing slanderous things on social media or with our tongues. We ought to be saying things that build up. There's that old illustration out of history from October the 8th, 1871, in Mrs. O'Leary's barn. It was 8:30 at night in Chicago, and Mrs. O'Leary's cow accidentally kicked over a kerosene lantern. Now, I want you to know that set off in your history books what is known, what is recorded as the Great Chicago Fire, as 17,500 buildings were destroyed, 100,000 people were left homeless, 300 people dead, and $400 million in damage. All because a cow kicked over a lantern. One match can burn down a house. The tongue is like a match. It sets things on fire. Second thing here, I want you to see, he compares our tongue to a poison. Just a drop of poison is enough to kill. Gossip is a poison. Heard about two farmers that were talking about gossip. One of them said, "You can't throw dirt without losing ground." I like that. The other farmer looked back and he said, "You can't throw mud without getting your hands dirty." It's just a good thing to say nothing if you don't have something to say good about somebody. True story I read the other day, a man was at home with his wife and two children. He went out to run some errands. Everything was going great. His career was wonderful, had a beautiful family and wife. He was only gone about an hour and a half. When he came back home, he noticed police cars surrounded his home. He went rushing in the front door, wanted to know what was happening. Police officer said, "Your two sons have been found hung in the basement, and your wife hung herself." There was a note left behind. He had no idea what was going on. A neighbor had started a rumor that this man was having an affair. The wife heard the rumor. She didn't confront her husband. She couldn't take it. She hung both of her boys and then killed herself. An investigation was conducted, and the rumor was not true. How many times rumors destroy a life? You know, when you think about rumors and you think about gossip, that's like trying to unring a bell. The tongue can bless or it can curse. You can be a deacon. You can be a soul winner. You can be in our children's ministry, youth ministry, women's ministry, men's ministry. And you, if you have a loose tongue, that totally destroys your testimony for Christ. You know, certain kinds of poison work slowly, and they'll kill just the same. I read about a little boy who loved to fish. This is a true story. A little boy who loved to fish in a pond down an old dirt road from his house. And some of you know about digging fish bait. Yes, I've dug fish bait before. Hadn't done it in the last 30 years because you can buy them at Walmart. They come on a truck. But anyway, somebody one time wanted me to dig fish bait on halves with them. I didn't take that up either. But anyway, he went out to his favorite fish bait digging hole, and he's out there in the mud. Man, he found some of the best worms you've ever seen. He went out to the pond, baited his hook, pop, caught one of the biggest catfish he had ever had. Baited it again, another large catfish. About that time, one of his fingers started burning just a little bit, and he didn't understand that. Old gentleman came by, and he saw the little boy fishing at the pond and said, "Son, what are you catching?" He showed him two big catfish. He said, "What kind of bait you using?" He said, "Right in that bucket." He said, "Son, those are baby rattlesnakes." And the little boy died before he could get him to the hospital. The tongue creates havoc. It's poisonous. Notice the inconsistency of the tongue in verses 9 through 12. He compares the tongue to a fountain of water. The American Indians used to call it forked tongue. They would use that to describe deceptive speech. Now look at verses 9 through 12. Addresses the same issue. James described a man who praises the Lord for all that he has done for him. In the next breath, he curses his neighbor. Look at verse 10. He says, "This should not be." Look at verse 11. "Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring?" It's impossible for sweet water and brackish or salt water to flow from the same source. He's saying you use your tongue to praise God, but you use it to curse other people. Look at James 3:12. "Can a fig tree bear olives and a grapevine bear figs?" And the answer is no. That kind of inconsistency is impossible in the natural world, which operates according to the basic laws of consistency and order. Conflicting speech may deceive for a while, but in the end, we're going to reap what we sow. Now write down Matthew 6:24. "No one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other." Heard about a man who went to dinner with one of his friends, and he said, "Listen, take me to a top-rated restaurant in town that is known for the way they prepare meat." He said when they got there and sat down in the restaurant, he opened up the menu. Guys, I'm giving you an anniversary idea here. I wouldn't write it down. But he said the meat they specialized in was tongue. They battered and fried tongue. They baked tongue. They had tongue salad. And he said, why'd you bring me to a place that specialized in this kind of meat? He said, well, when you think about this meat, it's the best meat. What other meat do you know can bless, encourage, strengthen, and affirm you? So they had their meal, and a few weeks later, he got together with a friend again. He said, pick me out another restaurant, and I want a restaurant that's not known for their good meats. I don't know about you. I'm not going there unless I'm a vegetarian. But they went, and guess what they specialized in? Tongue. He said, why'd you bring me here? He said, what other meat do you know that can curse, destroy, and remove dignity like the tongue? Now notice the intent of the tongue. James says that the tongue can accomplish something spiritually that nothing else can accomplish physically. It's physically impossible, he says, for a fountain to have both sweet and brackish water, salt water, coming out of it. Then he says, fig tree not going to produce olives. Olives not going to produce figs. And then he says, the tongue often does just that. It's used to bless God and to curse men. It's used to bless and it's used to bury. And you say, Pastor, the tongue sure is an awful thing. No, it's not. He gave us this tongue so we can praise Him and share the gospel. It's the way that we employ our tongue that is so horrible. Now notice this proclamation he makes in verse 1. He says, very few people should strive to be teachers of the Word of God. Why? Very few Christians have allowed Christ, the Holy Spirit, to tame your tongue. Now, I want you to write down two things, not in your outline. Two things about teachers of the Word of God. Number one, you've been given a tremendous responsibility. Tremendous responsibility. You better do your prayerful preparation. The other thing is the word accountability. The Bible says that we who teach and we who preach are going to be held more accountable than those who are our students. So he says here, you'd better be able to control your tongue, because our tongue is primarily to be used to proclaim the goodness, the grace, and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 9. He talks about our tongues being used to bless God. He says our words ought to be bathed in prayer, soaked in praise. You see, if our words always bless God, how in the world can we be critical of other people? Notice edification. Our tongues are not to be used to tear down, but they're to be used to build up. Listen to me carefully. We don't come here for the hour of worship from 10:30 to 11:30 so that we can go to the hour of gossip at the local restaurant from 12 until 1. Think about that. Turned on television this week, saw that horrible fire out in California that crossed over an interstate, caught all those vehicles on fire. People were running for their lives. Emergency officials said, get out of your cars and runs. Then a tanker caught on fire. The air got so toxic, they said, get back in your cars and turn on your air conditioners. Finally, they had to bring in helicopters to put a fire retardant on that interstate to put out all the fires in the vehicles. A brush fire just sent a spark across and caught some vehicles on fire. You've been seeing the brush fires. Homes that have been destroyed in California. Some of that started by lightning. July 4th, some of the fires out west were started by fireworks. And some of the fires were started by arsonists. Look very carefully. Just as those homes are destroyed by arsonists, so sometimes we destroy other people's lives by the negative things that we say. I heard about a lady who loved to carry the news. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? She was the 411 on the little community where she lived. She knew everything about everybody, and what she didn't know, she made up. I've known some people like that. They're very creative. So she decided she wanted to put a column in the society page. So she went down to the local newspaper office, and she submitted her society page, but she didn't realize that when she backed up, she backed into the side of some newsprint. And she didn't know it, but right across her back, it printed the words in big letters, big black letters, Daily News. So as she went through Walmart and some other places, I guess, on the way home, everybody was kind of snickering at her when she'd walked by. They saw Daily News on the back of her dress. So when she got home, she looked at her husband and she turned around her back towards him and she said, Is anything back there that shouldn't be? And he looked and he saw it. He said, no, it's as it should be. Don't you like that? I want you to turn two places with me in Scripture and we're finished. You know, oftentimes I pray the Scripture, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing unto you. Because that's what I want it to be. Do I always succeed? No. But I've got two verses of Scripture here I want to share with you that can be our prayer. Turn to Psalm 39 and look at verse 1. Psalm 39, verse 1. I said, I will watch my ways and keep my tongue from sin. Look at this. I will put a muzzle on my mouth while in the presence of the wicked. Now, I want you to go with me to Psalm 141. I'm going to give you one other scripture, and that's it. Psalm 141, verse 3 says, set a guard over my mouth, Lord, and keep watch over the door of my lips. If we're just conscious of everything we say, that we've dedicated our tongue and our mouth to God, He's watching over and hearing everything we say. You'll learn to tame your tongue. Will you stand right where you are, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, here in the Family Life Center, also in the Worship Center?